Okay, we're going to do a little bit of a smaller topical study. We're going to talk about purpose. The purpose is, why are we here on the planet, kind of question. And so, this one might hurt a little bit.
Oh, he's talking about purpose and it's going to hurt.
Don't worry about that. But this teaching put me on the path that I am on today. Years ago, 1997. So it means a lot to me. It certainly helped me to figure out a lot of things that I needed to figure out at some point. And I thought it might be good to just spend a little bit of time on it. So let's talk about purpose. There's going to be, this is like a bullet point type of thing, so it's not, I don't know if we'll finish it, but if we don't finish, and there's homework.
Oh.
Written homework.
Oh my.
But not for me, it's for you.
Well, we don't have to hand it in?
No.
Oh, get a grade?
That means you're going to be perfectly honest, but nobody else will see it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I know
that
some
part that's going to hurt. Nice. We get to be honest.
Right. So, there are people who listen to this on the podcast, and if they want the notes, all I need to do is drop me a line and I'll send them a PDF. So let's look into this. If you look at Jesus, when he came, when he started his ministry, he knew what he had to come for and what he had to do. That was his purpose. He came with a specific purpose, and he also made it known. He spoke about it. And so if you read through the Gospels, you'll see that he faced a lot of challenges, a lot of angry people, a lot of nasty questions. They tried to stone him and push him off a cliff and all of that. They hated him. And so through all of that, what kept him focused was he understood his purpose. He knew where he was going. And that's a good thing about knowing where we're going. So your purpose has to do with your destiny. Where are you going? And a whole bunch of other things that we will look into. So a lot of adverse circumstances that Jesus faced, threats, and yet it didn't alter his destiny, which so often happens to us when the circumstances kind of push us around and we end up where we didn't plan to go. Well, if you know where you're going and why you're here, that won't happen. Because you know your destiny, you know your purpose, and you can handle what comes because you know where you're going. The problem is when we don't understand it, we do get pushed around and end up in places where we didn't plan to go. That's the problem. So one of the first things Jesus did when he started his ministry on the earth was to declare his purpose. And we read about that in the notes, Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. And I put it there in bullets because it's nicely summed up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That means God equipped him, God called him, God prepared him for that moment. It also is the case with us when we begin to pursue our purpose and our God-given destiny. God will equip us. We are equipped for that. We look into that. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will come alongside us and empower us to do what we need to do. And many times when we don't sense that presence of God upon our lives is maybe because we're not heading where we're supposed to be heading. I told you it was going to hurt. If we, our purpose tells us where we're going. And it helps us not to be pushed around by circumstances that come into our lives. Sometimes our circumstances can push us into all kinds of directions.
Okay.
And what Jesus, the first thing he said when he declared his purpose was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he recognized that he was empowered. And that's also the case with us. When we go where we need to go, and when we pursue our God-given purpose, we will sense that empowerment upon our lives. God will help us. He put us there for a purpose, and if we go after it, he's going to help us to do it. That's the first point. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So that's what the first thing they had to do, is to preach the good news, right?
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
When those circumstances arise, because this has happened to me before, how do you know that that's not the direction that Jesus or God wants to put you into? That's why you have that circumstance. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and it is a good question, but I believe God leads us by his Spirit and not by circumstances in the natural.
Yes.
So we need to be followers of the leading of the Holy Spirit and not by circumstances. Because if the circumstances is the devil's playfield, and he's going to throw things in there to push us off course. So we have to be very careful not to be led by circumstances. Because the Spirit of God will always lead us. Romans 8 tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So we must be led by the Spirit of God. So the first point is, well, the third one here really, is to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So he found himself in scripture. Because all the Old Testament prophets spoke about him. And everybody knew someday the Messiah would come. And he read about him in the book of Isaiah. And he said to them, here I am. This is who I am, and this is what I came to do. So he declared his purpose right there and made clear what he came to do. And so that's what Jesus did all through his earthly walk on the earth. He preached the gospel, the good news. He healed, he set people free. He did all those things that he said for them to do. So like him, we also find our job descriptions in scripture. Sometimes when you read, and you say, well, I can do that, or I feel like doing that, I would like to do that. And I think the Holy Spirit makes a connection with our spirit to get us going in the direction that he wants us to go. Most of the time, we ignore it. We just bulldoze on. And I'm a good example of that. I'm a very good bulldozer. My family knows it. So, you know, and I guess most of us are in, to some extent, you know, we just roll on in the direction. We go where we think we're going. But when we go through Scripture, at some point, Holy Spirit will start speaking to us and point something to us that we feel, well, yeah, that's nice to do. I would like to do that. I can do that. That type of thing. So here's another one, Mark 1, verse 37 to 39. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns." So he was not going to respond, "Well, everybody's looking for me. Let them come. Here I am," that type of thing. He, their accolades, their appreciation did not move him from his purpose, away from his purpose. He was just going to do what he was going to do. And that's the other thing. So you have two things. You have adverse circumstances, and then you have the praises and the appreciation of people, and all those things can move you. Jesus was moved by none of that. So those are traps that we need to look out for. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So he didn't wait for them to come. You know, they were looking for him. He just moved on with what he came to do. Not moved by their whatever they wanted to do. So when Jesus came to the end of his life on earth, he once again declared his purpose. John 12, verses 27 and 28. It says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." It's talking about his crucifixion. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So he came, his purpose for that last hour, his last hour on the planet, was to die. And it was troubling to him. We just read it. Yet he did not back away from it. Now we know that he did pray that prayer in the garden, "Father, if it's your will, let it pass from me." It was not God's will, and he went through with it. As horrible as it was, and he knew what was coming, that was his purpose. And because it was his purpose, he went ahead, and he went where he had to go. And so it's also important for us to find our purpose, as it will put us on the path that our Creator set before us and keep us there. Once we understand our purpose and walk in it, we will enjoy God's blessings and peace upon our lives. So I found out years ago that God's blessing is poured out on the ways of God. So I walk in the way of God, he's going to bless me. But if I walk in my own way, God's not obliged to bless me. That's the difference. And so we can struggle and we can pull this way and that way and so on until we say, "I give up. let's do what God wants us to do." And then we begin to see blessing coming upon us. God's taking care of us. He's protecting us, he's providing for us, and so on. And life becomes, it's not always easy, but at least we can be sure God will protect us, God will be there for us. There will be tough days, but you know, when you know where you're going. See, that's why Jesus, when he was with his disciples in the middle of the lake and a storm came up, he wasn't scared because he knew he was not going to die by drowning, but by being crucified. Wasn't bothered. He knew his destiny. Wasn't bothered at all, because he knew his destiny. And that's the power of figuring out or understanding, not figuring out, but understanding why did God put me on the planet? What's the reason for that? And sometimes, as happened in my own personal case, you find yourself in a crisis and you don't know the way out of it. And it sends you into a deep introspection, a soul search. And that's when you begin to figure out, you begin to discover some things that you may not have known before. That was the case with myself. So, those bad days suddenly can have good outcomes. You know, so it's not that God's going to destroy us. You know, we must be careful not to harden our hearts and persist on going our own direction, because that's not going to turn out well for us. But when we follow God's will, we can certainly rely on, just as we said, read of Jesus, that God's presence will be upon us. He will guide us. He will lead us. And we will see that a little later on. And we can continue with our lives and live a meaningful life. So the whole concept about purpose is to live a life that has meaning, a meaningful life. That's the whole reason. Now, people don't know God. They don't care. You know, they live for today. They eat and drink, as Paul, we just read it last week. Let's eat and drink and be merry, because tomorrow we die, and it's all over. But it's not as simple as that. So we want to live meaningful lives, and God has prepared us for it, and we're going to look into that a little bit. And as soon as we recognize this and we begin to take some steps to get into it, things will make sense, or begin to make sense at least. So Psalm 37, verses 22 to 24. I have it in the New King James and the Amplified. I'm going to read them both. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If they're ordered by the Lord, He's telling you where to go, right? That's your purpose. That's your purpose He's talking about. And delights in His way, and though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. See, there's a protection. There's a protection. If you walk where God's ordering you to go, protection will be there. And when you fall, He'll help you up. Let's look at the Amplified Bible. The steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord. And He delights in His way and blesses His path. When he falls, he will not be pulled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand and sustains him. See, there's the blessing that comes when we walk where God wants us to walk. When we spend our lives the way God wants us to spend our lives. There's a little bit of an example that I want to mention here. I once needed to take out a screw or something, and I was too lazy to go and get the screwdriver, so I took a kitchen knife, and I damaged the knife, because it's not the purpose of a knife. I abused the knife for the wrong purpose. That's what happens to our lives when we misapply our lives. We're not in God's purpose. We're not in the purpose that God ordained for us. So we get damaged. So that little arrow there, God never made random things. things without a reason or without a purpose. Everything God made has purpose. And there's a specific function that every little thing must fulfill. So every little thing in nature has a purpose and a function. And so it is with us also. We have a certain function. And it's different for everybody, of course. It's different for everybody. And so we need to find out, why am I here? Why am I here? You'll probably say to me, you should have told me this 50 years ago, or 20 years ago. Well, I said the same thing. When I started to look into this, and I was in a very, very bad spot in my own life, very, very bad spot. You know, everything came to a halt. People moved against me, you know, and they were trying to destroy me. They outright came to destroy me. And it took me a long, long, long time to digest all of it, and I still don't have answers, and it really doesn't matter today why people do things to you. Christians, right? You know, people that you're supposed to trust. The ones closest to you often hurt you the most. And so I was dealing with that. And it took me a very long time until I stumbled on something like this. And I started looking into it and found a new path ahead of me. That God set me. And you know, when that door shut to me, God opened the world to me. God opened the world to me. You know, our ministry went around the world many, many times. I preached in a whole bunch of countries. I went, and to many of them, I went several times. That's after people tried to destroy me. But when I found what God called me for, the world opened up. And He financed it all, opened the door. I never had to look for anything. It just came. It just came. See, that's the blessing that comes on you when you start walking in the path that God has for you. So, you were made for a reason. You're not an accident. Nobody's an accident. And you came to the right place at the right time. Although I would have loved to live a little earlier and miss all the garbage that's going on here today. But that's part of purpose, right? God has a reason. And so here we are. And that goes for all of us. Now look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, of good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God looked down the ages, He saw what needed to be done, and then He put us there. So you first had the job, and then you were born. And what's comforting here about this verse is it says we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. Now, I don't know if you make things. I sometimes make things. And sometimes the thing that I make fails. it's a flop. I just throw it away. It's garbage. God's not like that. He doesn't make garbage. He doesn't make mistakes. We are the workmanship of God. That's very special. We were made exactly the way God wanted us to be. Perfect.
I hope at some point you're going to tell us how we find our purpose.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay. Because I'm sitting here and I'm going, I'm 70 years old. Like, most of my life has passed me. You know, maybe I should have had a purpose at the very beginning rather than...
You still have one, and you're not too old.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, no excuse is valid.
I'm sorry?
No excuse is valid.
Okay, so age is my excuse.
I'm 70 years old.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, why didn't I know this earlier, right?
Just look at Abraham.
I told you, so, you know, I told you it was going to hurt a little bit.
We talked about this earlier, you know, purpose.
Right. Yes.
But we didn't go in depth into it.
No, so this time we're a little deeper. Okay, let's look at what purpose is. First point. It's the reason for doing something. It's the reason for doing something. So if I get in my car in Merida on a Sunday morning to come here, I come here for a reason. I don't just come here randomly, right? I come here for purpose. So same with you. There's purpose. So that's what purpose is. It's the reason for doing something. It's an anticipated outcome that guides our planned actions. It's an anticipated outcome. So we're looking for an outcome. And because I know that is the outcome that I want to accomplish, I know I need to plan some actions that will take me there. That cuts out all the unnecessary things that we do, wasting time and energy and resources. Let's focus on one thing. The last one there, your anticipation of a destiny that provides your reason for doing something. So you look forward to a destiny, and we're going to get into that. You want to accomplish something at a certain point in time. And for that to happen, there are certain things that you need to do. And there may be certain things you need to stop doing. Because you're going to align your actions and your thoughts and your time and everything you have, your resources, with the goal that you want to accomplish. So God, here we go now. God created every one of us with a purpose. Nobody came to earth by mistake or without a reason. We were known by God before the foundation of the earth. So you came at the right time, to the right place, with the right equipment, and we can look at that equipment to do the will of God. So God prepared some good works beforehand that you should walk in. So let's read that verse in the Amplified. It says, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used. So you look at the day that you were born again. That's where things begin to fall in place. To be used for good works which God prepared before us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. That's a lovely verse in the Amplified Bible. Explains the whole thing very, very well. So let's look at King David, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. It says, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't look into the mirror and complain about what you see.
Why fearfully? What does that mean?
That fearfully is more reverential fear.
Okay.
It's not as not a scary fear.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So David is meditating, and he's getting into some deep things. He's looking at himself and recognizing who he is, who he was, and that God made him. It's a work of art. It's beautifully made. And you get to a point where you recognize that, as we just read here, fearfully, it is reverentially, not in a narcissistic way. But you look at that in awe of God. And God prepared you for what he wanted you to do and wanted you to become. So look at some important questions about life. First question, who are you? Who are you? You start thinking about that too, and you can be busy for a long time. And shoot, maybe. Who am I? Who am I? So here, of course, on this side of the cross, we need to think about our identity in Christ as a new creation. And that is, as we've said in the past, that is a big discovery that we need to make, is who am I in Christ? You know, I can look at my natural heritage, my forefathers, and who they were, and their religion, and their politics, and their culture, and all of that. Well, that's not who I am, because Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All of that's gone. There's something brand new here. Somebody. Brand new. New. Who is this person? And this should be the quest of our lives, is to find out who we are. Now, I mentioned here in the notes, you'll find a lot of answers in the book of Ephesians. Other books too, but it's almost as if Ephesians focuses on this thing. To tell us what the new creation is, who he is, what he has, what he's like, and all of that. His position in Christ, all of it. I put those blogs out every week, one week. The last one's coming today. There's 7 of them. I hope you read them, because we look at a new creation being in some good detail there. It'd be good to go through all of that, and that'll certainly help to discover or to understand the new creation at least.
Where were these blogs? I'm sorry.
I put it on Simple Church. There's a blog once a week that I put on. Called The New Creation Being.
Simple Churches on Telegram.
Yes.
Okay.
The seventh one will come on today.
It'll
say
word-wise, right?
Yes. Word-wise. It's on the website too.
Yeah.
Second one, your spiritual heritage. Understanding that all things have passed away and that all things have become new. We just spoke about that. Now, your individual purpose. The good works that God prepared beforehand for you to do. Next one, you came equipped to do God's will for you. Now we look at your gifts and your talents and your skills. So God put some inside of you. Nobody came to earth without something. some ability, some skill, some gift, something. There's something that you can do, and some of it, some of those might still need to be discovered. They are still hidden. They're dormant. They're there, but they're dormant. You know, when I started down this road, we were pastors, missionary pastors, and they turned against us. And that kind of closed the door for us in many, many, many ways. They really worked very hard to destroy us. And it was a very, very difficult time. And I wrote to the missionaries, we're in a foreign country, and all of that stuff happens. So then, when I started looking into this, and I studied scripture, and I spent a lot of time on this, I was really doing a deep soul search. And eventually I came up and I said, well, I think I can teach. And I started. I first wrote like a teaching newsletter and had a mailing list of about 5 people. Sent it out to them. Started small. Then we made friends with an American missionary in the city of Brussels. And he said, why don't you... And he worked with a lot of asylum seekers that came. They came from all around the world, everywhere. And we used to go there some days and preach to them. Well, they had nothing to do, so they came. And he said, why don't you start a class? And I said, well, sure, let's do it. So I started the class on a Saturday morning. 3 hours. How many people came to us?
The first Saturday was 7 people.
7 people came. Some of them had nothing else to do. That's why they came. The next week, there were 11 people. The third week, the place was too small. We moved. Beautiful place. Brand newly renovated with desks and everything. And we finished with, I don't know how many different cultures, about 13, 14, and 34 students. Many of whom went out without it being a plan or the purpose of the whole. We just taught stuff like we do here. And they went out and started churches. All across the place. Some went back to their nations and started churches there. And suddenly we had all of that on our hands and we were not ready for it. And that's been going until this day. I have no clue how many churches started in the world through our ministry. I have no clue.
We never kept record.
We never kept record because we went to Ontario and started pastoring a church again. So this thing just kept on running by itself here on the side. And it's still going on. And we don't advertise. We don't advertise. So you can see, when you zoom in on that one thing, what God does. It's amazing. I sometimes look at this whole thing and say, you know, somebody asked me one time, how did you do that? I said, oh, that's strange you ask us. I don't know. We didn't do it on purpose. It just happened. It just happened.
And so many times, you know, many pastors, they would like to go out and they don't know how to make contact in other countries, you know, to go out and minister. They feel they must do it. But this was so amazing. It just came. I think it's because he really found his purpose, and it was easy.
And you know, you don't have to be the best at what you do. Because I don't consider myself the best teacher at all. I was never trained to be a teacher. I was never trained for any of this. So, you know, when you step into that slot that God has for you, that presence of God that we read about comes upon you and enables you, empowers you, and then things happen. that blessing comes.
Yeah.
So you came equipped to do God's will for you. So we're talking about your gifts and talents. And we talk about this, you also need to talk about potential. Now, potential is what you have, but you haven't used it yet. It's dormant. It's unused ability. You have unused ability inside of you. Unused abilities, hidden success, unfulfilled dreams. It's something you still wanted to do. You still wanted, I always wanted to do that. I wanted to start a business or write a book, whatever it is. That is potential. Opportunities given to you. Sometimes an opportunity comes and God wants to open something up to you. And there's potential that needs to be taken advantage of. It's also your goal in life, what you want to accomplish with your life before you die. So the big question is, what will your legacy be? What will you be remembered by after you die? Well, we all have the ability to impact at least the next generation. And some even multiple generations. You think of people who went before us. I think of somebody like Andrew Murray. He was a South African minister, but he wrote a lot of books. You find them in every Christian bookstore. He died a long time ago. I don't know when he died, probably over 100 years ago. His books are still bestsellers today. He's impacting a generation long after him. Still impact. And there were others before him. And so, you know, I always think of the two Wesley brothers, Charles and John Wesley. I don't know if you know them. They were the fathers of Methodism, the Methodist movement. And I always read biographies of people like them. And so what's interesting about them is that their success And much of what they did, because they came to the States at some point, together with a man called White Whitby, something like that, I forget his name now. And they rode on horseback and preached everywhere. They were instrumental in bringing the states of the U.S. together and become the United States of America. That's their legacy. But their mother is the one who gets the credit because she raised them for that. She educated them. They could see, I forget all the detail now, but she educated them in Latin and I believe some other biblical languages of the intellects of their day. So by the time they went to college, they were already fluent. She prepared them for this. So that's legacy. That woman, her purpose was to produce those two boys. She didn't go out to preach. She prepared them. And they changed the world. So that is legacy. So we need to also think about our own legacy and maybe hope for something more than a headstone to be remembered by. You know, let our work speak for us and continue to speak even after we passed on. Because we have that ability inside of us to do it. make our mark in the world and impact not only our present generation or our own, but at least one more. So we have time. We're almost done. So I wanted to go, and I'm going to leave that to you to read about, you can read about that, about King Saul. I'll just briefly mention that. King Saul was the first king of Israel. It was a tremendous opportunity that God gave him to lay the foundation of the kings of Israel. And yet at one point he drifted off, did his own thing. And his life was consumed by hating David. And used all the nation's resources and manpower to go after David. Until that day when David caught him in the cave and cut a piece off his robe, he could kill him. And when he left, David called after him and they said, I could have killed you, but I respected you. And he said to him, what are you after? You're running after dead dogs and fleas. What he really meant was, you're a king. You have a big purpose. But you're wasting it on things that don't matter. And that's a danger also for us, that we can waste our lives on things that don't matter. So that's a story about Saul. I'll just leave it to you if you can read that at home. See what else is here. So every Christian, there's a general purpose, of course, for every Christian. We pray, we study the Bible, and we do the Christian things. Every Christian, that's part of our life. But then there's your individual purpose that God has for you. So how do you find that out? First of all, you look inside of you, and you ask yourself, what can I do? And be honest. And don't be too modest. You know, if you're good at something, recognize it. I can do it and I can use it. I'll find a place to use it. I'll do something with it. Don't let it sit there and be dormant. How can I make a difference? What can I do? How can I make a difference in someone's life? What do I love to do? That's a good starting place. It may not be the end of it, but it will get you going. What are my gifts, my talents, and my skills, and how can I use them in service to others and, of course, to the Lord? Because then we serve God by serving others, right? Now, just make a note here, because it's not in the notes. Luke 2, verse 36 and 37.
Did you read that again?
Luke 2.
Oh, Luke.
Verse 36 and 37. This is about an old woman who waited for the Messiah to be born. And she lived with her husband, I think, 7 years, and then he died. And she never remarried. But she dedicated her time to fasting and prayer. That's a purpose. That was her life's purpose, to pray. And many people are called to pray, to be intercessors, to pray. And they spend hours and hours in prayer. That certainly is a very valid and a very needed purpose to be fulfilled in our day. Then you have another guy, it's in Acts 4, the same two verses, 36 and 37. There's a gentleman called, I think they called him, his name was Joseph, but they called his name Barnabas, because Barnabas means son of encouragement.
Repeat the scripture again.
Acts 4, 36 and 37.
Acts 4. 36 and 37.
And they changed his name because he was an encourager. He encouraged everybody. And they actually changed his name to describe who he was. Barnabas, son of encouragement. That is a good thing to do. You know, when you look at the world and what's going on today, that is an amazing ministry to have, is to encourage people. Be there for them. Let's see where we're at, I think. So there we go. We'll get to the homework, and I'll leave you with that. That's your personal inventory that you can look at. And I just put a few things there. You know, you can go a lot deeper than that. You look at Paul there at the bottom. That will also help a little bit to understand that Paul, he had to give up a lot of things and start down a new road that God had for him. Where he first persecuted the church, that's what he loved to do. And then Jesus came. And then he became persecuted with the church. And then he spoke about that in Philippians chapter 3, beautiful chapter. I'll just read verse 12 there at the bottom. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That's the question we ask ourselves. What is that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me? That's the purpose. And that's what you start out with. You start on something, and then God will make the adjustments as you go. If there need to be adjustments, you will make the adjustments as you go. But the main thing is that God has, you know, people always say God has a plan for you, you know. And to be honest, it begins to irritate me. Because all they talk about is the plan. But they don't know what the plan is. They just say, well, you know, don't worry, God has a plan for you. Well, you know, may I know what the plan is so I can get going with it. Because I want to spend my life on something that's meaningful. And so, yeah, God has a plan for you, but I would say, I prefer to say has a purpose for you. He equipped you and to prepare you for what you need to do. So you always look on the inside and say, well, that's it. I can do this, or I think I can do it. I'll try this. At least, you know, it's the first step. The longest journey begins with the first step. You start somewhere, and then you go. And nobody's too old or too young or too rich or too poor or too whatever. You are, and it's the way God made you. So run with it. And I believe it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've seen miracles. You know, I'm thinking I need to stop talking. We went into China from Hong Kong. I told you the story. And we were smuggling Christian books into China. And we knew that if they catch us, then we would be in trouble. And so we got to customs, there's a police officer and an x-ray machine, and we put our bags there. And we were there just for a day. So that's all that was in the bags was books, nothing else. And so they went through the x-ray. Just as they went through the x-ray, a tourist started taking pictures over there on the other side. And this guy was distracted. And our bags went through, we picked them up and left. God protected us. We were doing his work. I wrote a book. I wrote quite a few books, three or four of them, in that a church member translated into Mandarin. But we sent the file over through the internet, and we had them printed over there, so we didn't have to smuggle them in.
They became smarter.
We learned some lessons, and we found a Christian who had the facilities to do it. And so one day, we were there also, we were in Shenzhen at the railway station, and we were going to get some of the books, and there's lots and lots and lots of them. I don't know, several hundred of them. I don't know how many, but there were suitcases full of them. And we were going to fly to Shanghai. And at the airport, they flagged my suitcase. And my suitcase is full of books with my picture on it.
Mm.
And it's in their language. So I was called to a room at the back. And what they saw was a battery of a camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so I opened the suitcase. They opened the suitcase and there's all the books. And the guy said, "You know where the battery is?" I said, "Yes." And I took it out and he closed it. And he never saw. My picture's there right in front of him. See, God protected us. Because, you know, we were on his mission. And he opened those wonderful doors that we could impact those people. And we distributed hundreds of books for free. You know, while they're going through that persecution now, I'm just saying, God, I just hope those books and these other ones that I wrote, I hope they could keep those books and hide them and might continue to be a blessing to them. It's still doing its work. See, God enables us. He enables us to go beyond what we can really do in our own strength. And I believe that's what God wants for all of us, is to enjoy those fruits that we can bear to his glory. Okay, so I'm going to leave that with you, and you can do the homework in your own time. If you want to.
Is it possible that you have more than one purpose?
Well, when you look at the verses we read about Jesus, he said, "I came to preach," and all the things he did in the beginning, but when he came to the end, he said, "This is my purpose, it's this hour." So he stopped preaching. And he had to die.
And his destination was that.
Yeah.
But there was other things towards that destination that he had a purpose of doing. If he had just come and not done all those other things, the final destination wouldn't have made any difference.
No. It led up to, that was the final thing.
Yeah.
Yes. But he had to introduce the Father to us, because he always said, the works that I do is actually the Father doing them through me. So I never do anything unless the Father tells me to do. And he said to Philip said, "Show us the Father." He said, "Philip, if you saw me, you saw him." So he introduced the Father to us, his character, his will, because they had an image of God, that God is there to punish them, and, you know, in the Old Testament. They introduced God as Father, a loving God who cares about us, and so on. That's what he came to do.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for all of our family and friends here, Father, today that arrived safely. We thank you for letting them go home safely as well, Father. We thank you for the word that you provided us today through Johan. Keep pouring it into him, Father, so he can share what he needs to us, Father God. We love you, we praise you, we worship you, Father God. We thank you for all the blessings that you provide us, Father, that we don't see. Things that you're doing behind the curtains, that all of our struggles and our trials, Father God, you're providing something good for us in the end. Father, we thank you for our purpose. Let each and every one of us that leave here today be provided through the Holy Spirit, Father God, their purpose in life and their purpose for helping people along the way and what we're supposed to do to fulfill it, Father. So we don't die, Father God, without knowing what we were supposed to be here to do, Father God. Let us be fulfilled. Put the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us as we do this, Father God. We just thank you for your son. We thank you for all that you do. Father, we thank you for my mom being here today.
Yes.
We thank you for her healing, Father.
Yeah.
We thank you for keeping your hand upon her, Father. Father,
yes.
We thank you for each and every one of us to be able to see the day when your son comes back to take us away. And Father God, we thank you in advance, Father, for turning that hurricane in the rock in the direction that's not going to harm any people, Father God.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for doing that. We thank you. We know, Father God, that our prayers are answered because you tell us whatever we ask, we will receive, Father God, if we believe it. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, I ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.